Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
You know, I thought,
I thought
parking was going to be an issue again this morning.
I know.
Just by the way, if you're down here, turn my headphones up here. Testing. 1, 2. Testing. Yeah, if you're heading downtown area, right across, right in front of Victorian Square on Main Street, big truck going on with a cherry picker or something. There's a lot going on. It's blocked.
And I understand, like, do it now.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't do it on Monday morning.
Right.
But we ended up getting spots.
Yeah, so we lucked out.
We were okay.
Close one yesterday.
Yeah, closer than it probably had to be. When Mayton went out 2 minutes into the game, like, you felt incredibly bad for him.
Yeah.
But then thought, well, what does Georgia have? And they had J.J. Frazier, who went absolutely nuts. But some of the things that continue to plague Kentucky just continue to plague Kentucky. I mean, it's not new stuff.
The good that Kentucky did, we'll focus on that first.
Yeah.
Is they out-rebounded Georgia without Yonte Mayton. I'm sure that made a difference. 41-26. Georgia only had 2 offensive rebounds. UK had 27 offensive rebounds. So UK had as many offensive rebounds as Georgia had total rebounds for the game.
And Derek Willis, finally a beast on the boards.
12 of those for him. He was big. Hey, those 3 seniors were huge.
Yeah.
Dominique, Derek, and Michael Mulder.
Yeah, without them, this thing went the other way last night.
Yeah, because the guards, Briscoe, Fox, Monk, did not play well. Now, Fox took over late. He did do that. He took over late. He made, something like 8 straight free throws.
Yes, and that was huge.
He was big, but those 3 guys for the game were 11 of 37 shooting, 30%. Fox, Monk, Briscoe. Now, they did go 18 of 22 from the free throw line. Briscoe only had 1 of those. Also had 9 of UK's 14 turnovers. So the free throws is all those guys did well.
But they needed every one of them.
They did. Hawkins, to me, he's got to play more.
Yeah. He was great last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Michael Mulder was too. I don't think Michael Mulder should be a 20-minute a game dude. I'm not there.
Probably not. No.
But there are some games where you don't really even see him.
I'm telling you, there is a group, a section, I don't know how many, if it's a lot, majority, that would rather see Dominique Hawkins and Michael Mulder get Isaiah Briscoe's minutes. And Briscoe's minutes go to where Michael's is now.
Well, you know, your theory has always been, and I tend to agree with you, that, you know, this is a program where Cal wants these kids to get to the NBA, and if Isaiah Briscoe's not playing, he probably understands, like, in the big scheme of things, Michael Mulder isn't a next level player, and he wants Isaiah Briscoe to be that.
Yeah,
and so he can't bench him. He can't bench him.
No.
Even though sometimes watching him play is like, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself, brother. Quit taking those threes. Golly.
Oh, 3. Why take? Well, Calipari tells him to take them. Says, hey, if you're open, shoot it. Because if you're not playing confidently, I can't play you. Well, but if you don't make 3s, then you need to know that's not about confidence. It's about being smart. That's a very low percentage shot. Extremely low percentage shot.
Right. And they didn't all go in, but they did. He did get to the free throw line. I felt like De'Aaron Fox was back to kind of like his game. You know, he just drove.
Yeah.
And
over there,
he just drove. Now, it got him to the free throw line. They didn't necessarily all go in. But he has kind of stopped taking all those jumpers.
Yes. There was a time there, I think, where Fox, well, there's a few things But one was, I think he was getting confused on what John Calipari wanted from him. Because remember, Calipari was saying, too much hero ball. We're doing too much one-on-one. We're not moving the ball and finding ways to score that way. We're going, okay, look what I can do. Which, late in the game, that's what De'Aaron Fox kind of did. He's like, all right, I'm taking this over. It's me. It's now on me. I'm driving. So he needed to do that yesterday, and Calipari wanted him to do that yesterday. He's got to find the right balance there. And then you add the sickness and the knee and all that stuff. So,
and then you add in, you know, scenarios where the game is really tight or Georgia takes the lead and this team has panicked in those situations.
Right.
This year, every time they're in them.
They did not panic yesterday. As a matter of fact, Kentucky made, free throw wise, I want to see... Yes, 17 straight free throws in the final 6:17 of the game. 9 straight in the final minute. Adebayo missed the last free throw, 5 seconds left. That's huge.
It is huge because, listen, Cal has said plenty of times that 2012 team found ways to win different types of games.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this team has definitely shown it can win a super fast-paced, just back-and-forth game. It can win those. It has to find a way to win games where it comes down to free throws, games where they're in the 60s, you know, those kind of things. And I do think they're getting better at that. But what we all kind of thought we saw with the Tennessee game did not happen last night. And I'm just wondering, maybe this is just not a good road team. I just don't think it's a good road team.
They don't play well on the road, but last night, the biggest takeaway for me is what you're talking about. Not panicking there in a close game. It is on the road. A lot of Georgia fans there, vocal.
But there were a lot of you could hear Go Big Blue chants.
You could. But Calipari, you know, he questioned this team's toughness. We're just not tough enough at times. Well, that was what he was talking about. The toughness. Being able to make a free throw when the game's on the line late.
That offensive rebound that Bam got really late in the game. That's a toughness play. That if that doesn't happen, the outcome of the game may be different. That one rebound.
And Hawkins tipped that over there to him. So, but Hawkins is tough.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Dom saved us, I think is what Cal said, right?
Yeah. He saved us a few times. Yeah, he definitely played well. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here and talk about this. Here is, I thought, this analysis from Antoine Walker, the former Wildcat, was spot on. He sums this whole thing up really well on SEC Network. Just listen to it's Dario Anoka hosting it, Antoine Walker, and then Damian Fishback, and these guys are on top of it here.
Kentucky again taken down to the wire, but coming through on the road in a tough place to play.
Showing that they can win in different ways, that they play defense finally. I thought that at the end of the game, it was 75-75. Coach Cal decides to double-team J.J. Frazier, force somebody else on Georgia to make a shot. Bam Adebayo steps up, makes a block shot, and then obviously the free throws. I thought J.J. Frazier dominated Kentucky's backcourt from start to finish. He really was the better player, the best player on the court today. But Kentucky was able to make the right defensive plays late and then make their free throws, something that we saw them not be able to do a lot this season. So those are the bright spots that you got to take from this game. It's a solid road win. Georgia's a good team. I know Cal is very critical of his team, and he says we got so much work to do. No, it's tough to go into Georgia when they're fighting for their life and they're on the bubble and their best player's out and you're still able to get a win. This is a big, big win for Kentucky. They should be very proud of themselves going into Tuesday night against Missouri.
I saw consistency and an identity being formed by Kentucky. Listen, Coach Cal is getting on his team because he realizes how far they have to go to win a national championship. It was a quality win against a Georgia team. But what I mean with consistency and identity, meaning you have a guy like Derek Willis that knows, I need to be able to knock down outside shots. That helps not only me scoring, but the ability for guys like De'Aaron Fox and Isaiah Briscoe to get into the teeth of the defense. Isaiah Briscoe getting to the free throw line. De'Aaron Fox controlling the tempo, and then Malik Monk putting up points as he's doing. So now this team is developing that identity that I think Coach Cal wants them to have come tournament time.
In the meantime, it is hard not to just feel bad for Georgia. I mean, man, even all the tough losses, and then you lose Mayton and still almost win, and in the end, you suffer another tough loss.
Antoine Walker goes, listen, I don't feel too bad for Georgia. What I will say, I just want to echo, and that was great, but I want to, you know, what Fishback was saying about Derek Willis. He played 30 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Took three shots.
Yeah.
He made all of them.
He did.
But he needs to take more shots than that being out there.
One shot every 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, and he had, you know, he obviously what Cal was seeing something from him defensively and rebounding wise that he left him in the game, but he's got to take more shots than that. If he's going to play that many minutes and make every shot he throws up, he's got to get the ball more.
I think Derek played as much as he did, yes, because of the rebounding, but more so what he didn't see from Winion Gabriel.
Yeah, you're right.
When Calipari talked postgame, and we'll listen to some of this, but he mentioned we've got a couple of guys who's still not coming with energy, a couple of guys we got to cut their minutes back, and I think he is talking about Winion Gabriel and Isaiah Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the guys he's talking about. Because what he's getting from Dominique Hawkins, Michael Mulder, and Derek Willis, and, you know, Derek has come on a little bit more here recently. Dom has been so solid.
Yeah.
How do you let those mistakes and energy happen if you can't have those guys sitting on the bench and watch Briscoe and Gabriel not give you what you need?
Well, do you feel like those two game back-to-back games that Wayne and Gabriel had that were really great?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he fell so much in love with himself taking the three that he just has no other offensive game. That's all he does now. I know he can hit it, and he hit one last night, but I feel like that's it. That's what he's doing offensively, is just taking threes.
If we were to put together a montage of highlights of Gabriel baskets and take the threes out, I think we would look at it and go, wow, this kid is unbelievable. Because how many of those reverse layups did he make? Level of difficulty 8, 9, or 10? Under the
basket. But you also only have four baskets to look at.
Maybe 8. It's been, you know, 27 games. But he was doing that. And then, yes, fell in love with the three. I don't know. He started out so-so. Then he took a step forward. Now he's taking a step back. So I don't know. And it's late. It's late. Four games until the SEC tournament. And then, that's three games if you win the championship. So that's seven. If you're going to make it out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, that's nine.
Well, and this is the time of year where Cal says, like, listen, it's down to seven dudes.
Uh-huh.
I play seven guys now. So, you know, if Derek Willis and Dominique Hawkins and Michael Mulder play, then that doesn't have, there's not a spot then for Winion to get many minutes going forward.
There's not, but I don't believe that Briscoe's minutes are going to be cut significantly. I don't know.
I don't think they will at all.
Because of his loyalty.
Listen, he does bring... He lost his mind last night.
Yeah.
He lost. I was surprised that they called that a common foul.
Oh, yeah. That was a take.
I mean, he WWE'd him to the ground.
Absolutely did.
I was shocked that they didn't make that a flagrant one. But he was not there last night. He was not doing smart things.
Part of me loved that, though.
I think Cal loves that.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody else. The Bam's not doing that.
Mm-mm.
De'Aaron's not doing that. There's nobody else that's out there that has that mentality. Now, I think Fox has that mentality, or I'm sorry, Monk has that mentality where he is concerned, and I'm not calling him selfish, but I don't think he, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And Briscoe's the bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the only one that's got that out there.
And the Bulldogs were getting rough with Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, and J.J. Frazier had that bloody lip, that Edwards kid.
That he used his red undershirt.
Yeah. And then the Edwards kid was a bit ugly. Then, you know, Monk comes back from a shot. Was it Edwards maybe right then? I don't know who it was. But Monk, you know, is just walking by. He's in the guy's right into his chest, but he's not saying anything. And then the guy says something to him. So that gets Monk to respond, double technicals. And then Briscoe had a little dust up with that guy earlier, and Briscoe's like, I'm not taking it anymore. Watch this. You're going down, fool.
Took him down.
Yeah. And you know what? It was great because then Briscoe got more fouls and had to leave the game, and then
yeah,
you got to see Dominique and Michael back in the game.
I will say, and he fouled out anyways, so still with 5 minutes to go. But if I'm Mark Fox, and I know that they looked at that play over and over again,
right?
If I'm Mark Fox, I still send that to the league office.
Yeah, because if that happens to a Kentucky player, we're raising all kinds of fuss.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
There's no doubt about it. It was a clear flagrant one or two. If he would have gotten a flagrant two and thrown out of the game, I wouldn't have argued that. I'd have been like, well...
It wasn't a common foul.
When you put him on your hip and throw him to the ground,
yeah,
that's probably an ejection. I would be screaming for an ejection for another player if they did it to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Listen, this was one of the most interesting post games from Cal this year. We'll get into that coming up, too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. First of all, he says, we're firing coaches midseason, and goes on a rant about that.
Are you bleeping me?
Yeah. Then he says, a couple guys I got to talk to one-on-one say, we got to figure out what you're doing here. Because, Mulder and Hawkins, I mean, they got to play more.
He said Michael's playing as well as he ever has.
He said, well, we'll wait for you to hear what he said about Briscoe, but, I mean, clearly.
The best part is fake media.
Yes.
Fake news!
All that coming up. Plus, our guest today, at 10 o'clock, we have Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader. District tournaments start this week. We'll talk to him about high school basketball. And then we'll talk to Derek Terry of Rivals.com and CatsIllustrated.com about the UK baseball team season opening weekend in North Carolina. The Cats lost the first two games of this series, game three today. We'll see what Derek Terry, his thoughts, because he's deep in with UK, covers them as much as anybody as far as the baseball team goes. We'll do that coming up here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We got a whole lot of new money.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hi, I'm Melissa Kelmes.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Beth.
We are owners of Mind Over Body Pilates Yoga and Healing Arts Studio at 301 East Vine Street. Allow us to help you condition your body and mind through Fletcher Pilates and aerial yoga.
We can help correct your posture, invigorate your mind, and elevate your spirit.
Visit mindoverbodystudio.com to schedule your Fletcher Pilates and aerial yoga experience.
Heal your mind and change your body at
Mind Over Body Pilates Yoga and Healing Arts Studio.
Hey, it's me, your car. I'm sick. Oh, needs my engine lights on. Please bring me to CarMedic.
The local owner operators are the doctors. I mean the CarMedics. They never surprise us with anything, and they treat my car like it's their own. Plus 30-minute oil changes and a free shuttle. Listen to your car. Bring it to CarMedic on Houstonville Road, next to Pizza Hut in Danville. Call them at 209-2191 and follow them on Facebook, CarMedic, where they treat your car like it's their own.
Hey, you all know how I feel about Tony's Steaks and Seafood. Well, listen to this. The online restaurant reservation company OpenTable released a list of 100 best steakhouses in America for 2016. Only one Lexington restaurant made the list. Tony's of Lexington. It's the only one in Kentucky that did. Tony's of Lexington, right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Whether it's a natural disaster devastating thousands or a home fire affecting a family, the American Red Cross is there. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Kentucky Region Red Cross. Help us as we celebrate 100 years in Kentucky. Contact your local Red Cross today.
ESPN Sports Radio.
It's alive!
1300. The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live.
Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, we're firing coaches in midseason. Are you me? We're firing coaches in midseason. Do you know what I'm putting in my contract? You can fire me at midseason, but you're going to have to pay me $3 million. Oh, you'll let me stay now, won't you? There's a new one that's going to be in the contract, Dwayne. You can fire me midseason, but you're paying me. I mean, why would I even have to think of that? Now, every coach in the country, put it in your contract. What if Mark Gottfried goes at the end and goes on a run, gets to the NCAA tournament, which he was in 4 out of 5 years, 2 Sweet 16s, which is not done at NC State? What happens now if he goes and he wins and he gets another team? He had good players, but they're young. They're like my team. It's hard to do this with young guys.
Well.
Yeah. You bleeping me.
Hey, that's going to my contract, Dwayne. It's a new thing in my contract.
I assume.
Relax, John. They're not firing you midseason anytime.
Also, I assume it's in there. If you get fired, we're paying him.
Yeah.
But I get his point.
I do too, yeah. Absolutely anything can happen.
He also went on a rant about Mark Fox, not just Mark Gottfried.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. But, you know, Gottfried, I don't think he's a very good coach, but I don't think you fire somebody midseason either. Especially in basketball, especially in college basketball.
Because of what Cal just said.
Yes.
What if he gets hot?
It takes 3-4 games in a row in the ACC tournament to get to the championship, to get yourself a spot in the NCAA tournament. I mean, how many times, almost every single year, there is a team in there with a losing record or a few games above 500 because they got hot late. It happens every year.
Do you think that's why Gottfried's staying on? Just so you can say, bleep you, if that does happen? Because it's weird to me to...
I think he's been like a dog that's run over, and he's decided to bite the tire and the doctor. Did you see that? That's what his pregame speech was. Like, they put him on.
Oh, I didn't know.
They put the cameras in the locker room.
I was like, what are you talking about?
He put the cameras in the locker room, and he's giving his pregame pump him up speech, his pep talk. And he says, it's like a dog that's been run over. You bite the tire and the doctor. Like, what? The doctor's trying to help, Mark. I'm bleeding.
Well, there's no stopping these guys now. They are fired up.
Wolfpack. No, so, but he could turn it around. He could turn it around. You just don't do it. So I agree with what Calipari's saying. But
remember Dennis Felton at Georgia?
Yeah.
A few years back? Like, they were the year of the tornado.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a god-awful team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat Kentucky in the SEC championship game. and go to the tournament. And I think they won their first game in the tournament that year, too.
What was the kid's name?
Was it Sundiata Gaines?
No, Swansea.
Swansea. Yeah. Ugh.
Well, he got in some trouble in Oklahoma for messing with kids. Swansea did.
I saw that coming.
Oh, gosh, that tornado game. Whew. Not Calipari.
That whole weekend. God.
I remember trying to... I mean, we've got Kent Spencer down there with Jacob Davis and Jason Candy. These three guys. And they're like, you know, Kent's like, we gotta do something on this, you know? We gotta go on. And it is like midnight on a Friday at Channel 36. All right.
So there's one person there.
There's me.
Mm-hmm.
There might be one other person. And they're like, I'm ready to go home, dude. I'm not about to put anybody on air, you know? I mean, they're like, you're cutting into my time at the local establishment here. You got till 2, all right? So nobody over there is wanting to do this. And Kent and Jacob are like screaming at each other. trying to put this thing on the air, and I'm just trying to facilitate it. I'm like, well, what do you want to do? Anyway, it was a disaster.
We had a giant tree branch go through our sat truck. So it couldn't even be driven. Like it landed on it and whatever, the whole nine yards.
Jeez.
So of course we had to go live. But the best part, and we're veering too far off course here, but I just have to tell you, the best part is the hotel we were staying at obviously like lost all power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doors just opened and shut. There was no key to get in. No power whatsoever.
Mm.
So it became kind of like a haven for people who didn't have somewhere else to sleep, even on a regular basis.
I see.
I am just with
Atlanta folks hip to the fact that when the power's out, it's a free for all.
Yes, and
the purge.
So it was just me and Rob Cook, and
I'm so sorry for you folks out there who don't know Rob Cook.
I called back to the station. I'm like, here's the situation. Can I go get another hotel room somewhere? And they said, fine. So I told Rob, hey, we can go get another hotel. He's like, I'm good. I'm good here. And the only place I could find a hotel room was like in the penthouse of the Hilton.
Oh my goodness.
I'm in like a robe with room service.
Oh my
gosh.
It was
like the best night ever on Channel 18's Dime. I'm like, I got massages. I was like, oh, please.
I feel for you who are affected by the tornado. I'll have some room service. Yes, please. I'll have some caviar and champagne.
And fetch me a fresh robe. I've slept in this one.
15 minutes won't do. I need it now. Oh, I need a dress for tomorrow evening. Go and buy it for me. Here are my measurements. Wow. We have gone so far.
Yeah, but
of course
the point was that a coach and a team can make a run at the end, and then what do you do?
Even in the middle of a tornado.
What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. It almost makes you wish Gottfried would make a run.
It almost makes you wish that some of the coaches would maybe take to task a little bit more of players' issues.
Mm-hmm. What now?
You know, he's obviously defending guy. You know, Cal is going to bat, and it's his profession, so I get it. But Mark Gottfried's probably going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right.
You know.
I know what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, money-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, lucky to get out of there with a win. Here's John Calipari's comments on that. We'll take a break and be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Coach told me at halftime you weren't very happy with the energy. So how'd you guys pull this one out in the end?
Made free throws and attacked the basket instead of trying to settle for leaping leaners and fadeaways. And we just got a long way to go. I mean, we kind of took a step back, but give them credit. Mayton goes down. JJ just absolutely dominated the game. And we were lucky to get out with a win.
De'Aaron Fox really changed things around there late in the second half. What'd you say to him to create a spark?
You gotta take it personal. It's gotta be personal. You can't have a guy killing you and think, I'm okay though. No! You gotta take it personal. And then it doesn't mean in a selfish way. It means that I'm really gonna make it hard on this guy and I'm gonna attack him. And look, you get fouled on drives. Then they're and ones. I don't wanna hear that. Just, you know, we got a ways to go, but I'm happy.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
You've heard me say that David Monson is the best dentist that I've ever had. He does everything. Invisalign, cosmetics, he'll place and restore implants and dentures. He basically does whatever you need. He's able to do almost all his procedures in the office. And Cynthia Wirt, the dental hygienist there, has been in the business for over 30 years. Visit MonsonFamilyDentistry.com. David Monson is the best.
Everybody rides at North Broadway Auto. For over 20 years, North Broadway Auto has been Lexington's biggest and best buy here, pay here auto dealer. Tax time. Yes, tax time is the right time to find a quality ride at North Broadway Auto. Bad credit? No credit? Bankruptcy? No problem. With over 200 cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, we're here to help you find that perfect ride. Call 293-2353 or stop by 131 West New Circle Road at the corner of Old Paris Pike and New Circle. Right on the corner, right on the price. North Broadway Auto, or on the web at NorthBroadwayAutoSales.com.
Here's this month's money tip for students from the Kentucky Higher Education Assistance Authority. About the time you turn 18 and enter college, you start receiving offers in the mail from credit card companies, many advertising 0% fees. But be sure you read the fine print. Most cards offering 0% interest do so for a limited time only, like for 6 months. After that, the interest rate could jump as high as 20%. Credit card offers. Read them first. Know what you're getting into.
ESPN Sports Radio,
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So we were talking a little bit earlier about John Calipari, what he's got to do with Dominique Hawkins, and what he's got to do with Michael Mulder, maybe. What he's got to do with Isaiah Briscoe. Well, just take a listen to what he says about Derek Willis. Because Derek Willis, he said on Friday, well, if he's hot, he's hot, and I know right off the bat that he's going to have a decent game, that I can leave him in there. But I also know right off the bat, within the first few minutes, whether or not I can, if it's going to be one of those games, I can't play him a lot. But obviously, Derek.
Yep.
12 rebounds, 3-for-3 shooting, was one of those games. He could leave him in, but then he begins to talk about Derek Willis and then starts to allude to who can't play.
He did some good stuff today. I mean, you know, he's getting more minutes now, which gives him more opportunities to rebound. We also got a couple guys that I got to sit down with and talk to and, you know, figure out, like, look, if this is who you are, you got to take a step back. You know, and we got to go with the guys that are playing. We got 4 games left. This ain't like, okay, we're in midseason, you're good. This is like, you got to figure this out.
So that leads into him talking about Michael Mulder and Dominique Hawkins.
Tom was great, and so was Michael. Michael's playing as well as he's ever played in a Kentucky uniform right now. And Dom is playing. I mean, Dom has saved us. He saved us for a couple games now. You know, and you look at it, and, you know, I think he deserves more minutes, and we got to have to cut some guys.
It seemed like kind of right from the start.
No, keep it up. Oh, you cut it there? Oh. Well, right after that question that's being asked, he's asked about Briscoe. What did you say to Isaiah Briscoe when he came to the bench? He said, when he fouled out. And Calipari said, I'm glad you're out. Now we can go win this game. And he goes, I didn't really say that. I'm joking. But that tells you, because what preceded by what he said about Michael Mulder and Dominique Hawkins, and following with, well, I'm glad you're out. Because now we can go win this game.
Listen, so Dom does deserve more minutes.
Yes.
He truly does. Because of what he does on both ends. I mean, there was one point where he hit, 2 or 3 shots in a row that were
and steals,
crucial.
Steals that he came up with. That ball that Bam Adebayo got at the end. Dominic Hawkins got a hand in there to get it over there. The steal that he had at midcourt. I mean, that's what Calipari was saying earlier about Fox. You've got to take this personal. J.J. Frazier's going for 36 points. No, it's not okay. Are you not upset about that? Whereas Hawkins, I guess he feels, does take it personal, does play harder when somebody's taking it to him. So Fox took it personal at the end, I guess.
He did. You could see it. There was a change in him. You could see that.
I think that is definitely bothering Calipari, that De'Aaron Fox is not more intense, maybe, or doesn't take it personal, like he says. I mean, Fox is such a key part of this.
Oh, he's the key part of it, maybe. And you go from a guy last year who took everything personal in Tyler Ulis, and, you know, it's just different.
So Fox scored 14 of his 16 points over the final 4.5 minutes of the game.
8 of them from the free throw line.
He scored 6 free throws in the final 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, that's great, but it needs to begin when the clock starts from, you know, 20 minutes of the first half.
Imagine how much foul trouble the other team would be in if he started driving that way from the get-go.
Right. He winds up 16 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, 5 rebounds, 8 of 10 from the free throw line, 4 of 14 shooting. Monk, 16 points, 5 assists, 1 turnover, 3 steals. He did have a couple rebounds. 3 of 11 shooting. So Monk didn't have it. 1 of 5 from 3. But he knocked down 9 of 11 free throws. Briscoe, 9 points, 6 rebounds. That's what you get from Briscoe, the rebounds there, and some toughness. 2 assists, 4 turnovers, 4 of 12 shooting, 0 of 3 from 3, and he fouled out. So as I said earlier in the show, 11 of 37, 30% shooting, Fox, Monk, Briscoe combined. 9 of UK's 14 turnovers, but again, 18 of 22 from the line. Here was another game where UK had more turnovers than assists. 13 assists, 14 turnovers. Fortunately for Kentucky, UGA was worse. 8 assists, 11 turnovers. 7 steals for Kentucky to Georgia's 2.
Meanwhile, just to echo what you just said about the guards, when you put Mulder, Dom, and Derek's numbers together,
yes,
they were 9 of 14.
Yes.
Which you will take every time.
Yeah. Willis, 7 points, 12 rebounds, 3 of 3. Hawkins, 9 points, 2 steals, 3 of 5. And Hawkins, he had 10 against Tennessee, and that was only the second time in his career he scored double digits. The other time was Louisville last season.
Mm-hmm.
So now he follows his 10-point effort with 9 points. If you get 9 or 10 points from Dominic,
yes,
and the steals and his defense, but Dominique is Briscoe's backup. That's the spot. Fox and Monk have to be in the game. Briscoe and Hawkins are the same role player. Defense, rebounding. The only thing, the only advantage Briscoe has on Dominique is Briscoe is tough inside making shots. He's really good around the rim.
He is really good around the rim. He just is. And he will fight for those offensive rebounds.
But Hawkins is as scrappy as they come. If that floater would fall a little more often.
Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder if it's the same kind of scenario, if in Cal's head, you know, this had been a thing where Isaiah wanted to leave last year.
Mm-hmm.
And heeded advice from probably not just Cal, but I mean NBA guys that said go back.
What is so bad about being at Kentucky that you have to go now anyway? Like, I get the point.
I don't think it's so bad. I think that the reason they come to Kentucky is because they think they're going to automatically go to the NBA.
But if that doesn't happen, it's okay to change the plan. Is my
I totally agree.
NBDL All-Star.
But Alex Poitras leaves after his freshman year, and he does get picked in the first round.
Probably. But that's not happening for Briscoe after this season.
No, but...
he's not going in the first round. And then, okay, here's the other side of the argument. Well, how much better can he get? Is this the best he can be? No! I firmly believe that in 4 years of playing here, you can get better. Maybe that shot from outside, instead of being 30%, goes to 40% or 35%. I just think Briscoe can get better. I don't think there's any doubt about it that 2 more years or another year, he would be better. Heck, Kentucky needs some guards next year with Hamidou and Shai Alexander and Quad A Green. That's all they're going to have.
Yeah.
Three guys. Briscoe would be big for them. He already took on the leadership role this year. He's got another year being a leader. I'm not in love with Briscoe to the point that I'm trying to get him to stay. I don't mean that. I'm just saying Calipari shouldn't feel like he has to play him if he doesn't, if he's not the best option for the team because of the NBA, which is, and Calipari opened this himself. He's the one who said it a couple years back about the Harrison twins. We wouldn't even be talking about it this way if we didn't know that his mind worked this way, which was loyalty to the Harrison twins because of their NBA future. That's why Euless and Booker were not on the floor against Wisconsin at the end of the game. Once you open that up, that leaves this conversation right now that Briscoe is in, seems to be in that situation right now. But Calipari does acknowledge after the game, got a couple guys who got to sit down and talk to him, figure this out.
And I think it was Jay Billis the other night that said, listen, Isaiah Briscoe is a great college player.
Yes.
And he can be a great college player. Billis didn't make it sound like he thought he was NBA ready at all.
You have to have, as a guard, if you're not a Rondo or a John Wall, you have to have an outside shot. Even John Wall has an outside shot now. Rondo developed it somewhat, but Briscoe's not that kind of point guard like that. So he has to have an outside shot. He has to. And he just doesn't.
Not now. Not to say it can't come, but today it's not there.
I also think Bam Adebayo is what he is throughout the rest of this season. Like, he's not... he's gotten to where he's going. It doesn't seem likely that he will just all of a sudden dominate. He's going to do what he did yesterday, which is 5 of 8. It's great. 13 points. 8 rebounds.
They were the quietest 13 points ever.
Yeah. A couple block shots. That's what he's going to give you.
And that block was huge.
Yes.
That block was key, and then that rebound was key. Like, those are two plays that 100% stick out in my head, and I don't remember Bam scoring. You know, obviously I remember that he scored, but those are the two things.
Right.
So I think you're right. From here on out, that's what he needs to give you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a dominant inside post presence, and partly because this team functions its best when it's full speed up and down the court, and that just doesn't allow for you to have a real inside game. But I still think they're not throwing it to him.
Yeah, it's there. I think
he
could be a dominant inside presence. He just still... sometimes this one season is not enough time to learn it all. Anthony Davis, it clicked offensively for him mid-January. Karl Anthony Towns, same deal. And it just...
also, those two guys, and DeMar, I'll put DeMarcus Cousins in there too. Those guys are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're NBA all-stars.
Yeah.
I know Karl Anthony Towns wasn't technically that this year.
He is, though.
But he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the rookie of the year in the NBA. I mean, they're NBA all-stars.
Yeah.
Not everyone is.
And Bam might be down the road, but based on his freshman season...
but he's not today. And
right.
I think, you know, that's where we as Kentucky fans are so spoiled in some respects that we think those guys do come around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, Marquise Bolden was going to be the next one. Well, he's not, Ben. You know, Bam Adebayo's, and physically, I mean, he looks it. But he's just, he's not Carl Anthony Towns or DeMarcus or Anthony.
Nope. He's 10 points, 12
points. And that's not
points.
A bad thing.
No, it's fine. It's fine to be 5 of 8. Now, the 3 turnovers, that's an issue, but he's fine. But again, sometimes these guys just aren't able to do it in one season and be the best player among the top 5 players in the country, even though they come in recruited that way.
And honestly, I feel like if Bam isn't dunking it, I just don't know that his offensive game isn't quite to where like Carl's was.
Yeah. He hits the occasional elbow jumper. His hook shot's 50-50 at best. But J.J. Frazier, 36 points yesterday, he's a senior.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuff just sometimes seniors aren't there just because they're not good at basketball for 4 years. It's the
correct.
They're developing over time, and in 4 years, they can score 36 points on Kentucky, maybe.
Well, and he's been doing it, not 36 a game,
right.
But he's been playing well all year. I mean, he's a good player.
He is.
He just happens to be real short.
We got to take a break. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll flip the conversation to high school hoops because district tournaments start this week, and Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader will join us. And then in about 40 minutes, 10:30, we'll talk UK baseball season opening weekend at North Carolina. Derek Terry from CatsIllustrated.com, Rivals.com will join us then. You can give us a call, 381-1313. Back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
Very important and very pretentious. When I look back, I might be mad that I gave
the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's basketball season. It's the cellar season. Happy Hour, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. Game day specials, all NCAA basketball on our beautiful big screen TV. Incredible food in the most beautiful sports bar anywhere. It's the Cellar on Lansdowne Drive, right next to the Signature Club. For more info, call 859-317-8301.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Spring is right around the corner, and that means more skin. Kentucky Laser Hair Removal wants to help you avoid embarrassing stubble struggles this year. Why not experience the luxury of having silky, smooth, beautiful skin? Payment plans start as low as $49.99 per month. With an A-plus from the BBB, you can trust the experts at Kentucky Laser Hair Removal. Luxury service without luxury prices. Located in the heart of Hamburg. Check out KentuckyLaserHairRemoval.com for all services or call 859-263-2155.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Black dog drinks from the water, trying to cool his tongue.
Well, what do we got here? Zach Brown Band. Say what? Featuring Chris Cornell of Soundgarden? Yeah, we got to hear the chorus. Chris Cornell, Soundgarden. Is it right here? I don't listen much to the Zac Brown Band. Everything I've heard, I dig. Now, Soundgarden, back in the day. Come on now. There's Chris Cornell right there. That was him, though. The scream. All right, cut it out.
The only song that I can recall by Soundgarden is Spoon Man.
Yeah.
Or Black Hole Sun. Was that Soundgarden?
Yes. Rusty Cage.
You lost me there.
Johnny Cash covered that song. Soundgarden actually put out an album a year or so ago. Like a redo. But it's not as good.
Probably not.
No. All right, one more comment from John Calipari here, talking about how he wants to approach things here down the stretch.
And again, me trying to step back more, this is on those kids, and I had to make some subs and probably be more involved than I wanted to be, but the way the game went, I had no choice. Dom was great, and so was Michael. Michael's playing as well as he's ever played in a Kentucky uniform right now. And Dom is playing. I mean, Dom has saved us. He saved us for a couple games now. You know, and you look at it, and, you know, I think he deserves more minutes, and we got to have to cut some guys.
It seemed like kind of right from the start, this was not Isaiah's night.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we won without him.
John, what?
Glad you're out. Glad you fouled out. Now we can try to win this thing. I didn't say that.
Oh!
Actually, he probably did say exactly that.
Burn. Salty. Yes.
But you know, we're talking during the break. Listen, you can never count out a team of Cals because there are two very prime examples of teams that made the Final Four, one that made the championship game, mm-hmm. that were left for dead at this point in the season.
Yeah.
The Brandon Knight team and the Julius Randle team. And so you can't count it out. But, you know, I think we've both watched enough college basketball this year where there's no great, you know, I don't think there's any clear-cut great teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see teams that I believe to be better than Kentucky. That if Kentucky played them, of course, in a one-game scenario, which the NCAA tournament is, anything can happen, but there are teams that I think are better than Kentucky, and I think Kansas is one of them. I think UCLA is one of them, and I know both teams have beaten Kentucky, so that sounds easy for me to say.
Well, let's go through here. Gonzaga is number one in the country. They're 28-0 now.
I just have never watched them, but they do have that guy. That guy.
Villanova, number two in the country, 92-70 over Seton Hall. Villanova is a team that will beat Kentucky?
Probably. They could beat Kentucky for sure.
Kansas, number three.
Yes, has beaten them.
Beat number four, Baylor, 67-65.
Baylor had that game.
Yeah.
Twice against Kansas this year.
Yeah.
They had Kansas beat and couldn't do it.
Number five, Arizona won at Washington, 76-68.
That's a team that could beat Kentucky.
Number six, UCLA, 102-70 over USC. USC had won earlier this season, so payback. Well, UCLA's already beaten Kentucky. Number seven, Oregon, 101-73 over Colorado.
Yep.
Number eight, Louisville, 194-90 over Virginia Tech.
Listen, Louisville's playing really well.
They are. West Virginia, number nine, beat Texas Tech 83-74. They press. They like to press and get up in you. Kentucky likes to run. Number 10, UNC beat number 14, Virginia, no problem, 65-41.
I mean, Virginia scored 41 points.
Yeah.
Why would people fall in love with that team year in, year out, and it's the same story?
Wake Forest came into Duke and almost beat them. Number 12, Duke survives, Wake Forest 99-94. Listen to this, all right? Duke, 99. Louisville, 94. Oregon, 101. UCLA, 102. Villanova, 92. Those are the points these guys are putting up. Florida, Saturday. Florida is Saturday at Rupp Arena. Florida just got by Mississippi State in Starkville, 57-52.
Mm-hmm.
Yee. Look, Purdue, being slept on, I think. They're number 16 in the country, routed Michigan State 80-63. What happened to Florida State? Number 17 in the country, they lost at Pittsburgh 80-66. Vanderbilt beat number 21 South Carolina and Nashville 71-62.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's brutal. Look, that's brutal for the SEC.
The way Kentucky played UCLA and the way they played Kansas, those games were within a couple possessions late. It could happen. Remember how we felt in 2011 and how we felt in 2014. All right, coming up next, Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Fayette County Public Schools, Fayette County Education Association, and Fayette County Education Support Professionals Association invite you to attend Read Across America to celebrate Dr. Seuss's 113th birthday and love of reading. Saturday, March 4th, 10 a.m. till 3 at Fayette Mall in front of Dillard's. Special guests will include the Cat in the Hat, Thing 1 and Thing 2, multiple celebrity readers, simultaneously reading assortments of children's books, and so much more. For more information, call 859-224-0907.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
The Stephen A. Smith Show, weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 80 and the ESPN app. This is the competition the entire world will be watching.
Are you ready for some Oscars?
The hottest movie stars go head-to-head for the gold.
And the Oscar goes to...
With performances by Justin Timberlake, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Sting, and John Legend.
I'm freaking out.
Hollywood's biggest name.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Scarlett Johansson.
Halle Berry.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Hollywood's biggest prize.
Thank you so very much.
Jimmy Kimmel hosts...
What could possibly go wrong?
The Oscars, live Sunday, February 26th on ABC.
The 2017 NBA All-Star Game. DeRozan, Kyrie, and LeBron lead the Eastern Stars into New Orleans.
Butler throws it down with two hands.
Wow. Kyrie Irving.
James splits a double, drives, and throws it home.
To face the West, led by Kawhi, Durant, and Curry.
James Harden stirring it up.
Durant who throws it down.
Nothing but net. Steph Curry.
Coverage begins today at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tuesday basketball on the SEC Network. Number 13, Kentucky, descends on Missouri. The Wildcats are fighting for postseason position.
Every game matters, man.
Mama, three ball. Yes!
The Tigers are looking for an upset.
Be smart.
Ball fake. Flat. For a year again. Got it again.
13th-ranked Kentucky versus Missouri. Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Do I have to choose right now?
Yes.
I want to think this out a little bit.
Spigant.
I want to do what's best for the show.
You are a staller, a procrastinator. You don't finish anything. Man, it's like trying to have sex with a damn rattlesnake. It's just impossible to pin him down. Why do I know what that's like?
The Dan Levitard Show, now 10 to 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. A trio of new winners at NBA All-Star Weekend in New Orleans. The Rockets' Eric Gordon wins the three-point contest. The former New Orleans guard gets past Kyrie Irving in the final round. Dunk contest goes to the Pacers' Glenn Robinson III. He leaped over three people, including teammate Paul George on his final dunk. And the skills competition winner is the Knicks' Kristaps Porzingis. The All-Star game is tonight and on ESPN Radio at 7:30 Eastern. College basketball, we start with the UConn women making 101 straight wins to extend their record, but wasn't easy, a 63-60 victory at Tulane. ESPN's Jay Billis.
UConn's dominance of the women's game has been the most dominant performance by any team in college basketball, men's or women, in history. They've been phenomenal, and to do it over that period of time, to have three streaks of over 90 wins, the three streaks better than UCLA's 88-game streak, it's frankly just amazing.
And the UConn three-point win at Tulane was their second slimmest margin of victory during that 101-game winning streak. Men's game now, number one Gonzaga, blowout victory over Pacific, 82-61. Gonzaga is 28-0. Number two Villanova crushes Seton Hall, 92-70. One of the big games on Saturday, number three Kansas, 67-65 victory at number four Baylor, with the Jayhawks now just one win away from a share of their 13th straight Big 12 title. Fifth-ranked Arizona crushes Washington 76-68. Number six UCLA crushes USC 102-70.
KD and Russ, Phil and Mello, Sir Charles and King James, and somehow the biggest story from All-Star Weekend 2017 could be Kyrie Irving? Details Monday on Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Here's Roy from MLS Power Sports in Georgetown about their knowledgeable service department. You guys are Arctic Cat and Kimco dealers, but you service all makes and models, right?
Yes, we do. We service any make or model that comes to us. We can get parts aftermarket or we can get parts from other OEM manufacturers to be able to service any units they bring in.
Now, when someone brings their stuff into MLS for service, what should they expect?
Well, we want to go out. We want to go over their unit. We want to make sure that when they explain what their problem is, that we get it down on paper and know that we're getting the problem identified right, so that when we get it in there to be worked on, we can distribute it to the tech that's best fitted for that situation to get it taken care of.
You know, it seems like customers are very important for you guys. Is that what sets MLS Power Sports service apart from the other guys?
Yes, our customers are important to us. We like to enjoy the good times with them, the riding on the trails and all that stuff, and going down through the trails and being able to share the time with them outside of just seeing us at work and basically coming in to have their units worked on. We like to share it out there outside of that.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Well, we've pretty much talked only Kentucky basketball for the first hour of the show, and now the high school basketball postseason begins tomorrow, and we are bringing on our friend from the Lexington Herald Leader, Josh Moore. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Dad and Mary Jo. Finally talking about what people want to talk about.
Listen. With the guy that people want to talk about it with.
If I could get away with it, I would go an hour, or at least two segments, half hour, on high school sports, but you know, people will tune out and find someone who's talking about UK if I do it for too much. But we can dedicate at least one segment to it.
I understand completely. It's all good.
All right. So the Mr. and Miss Basketball finalists came out. First, do you like the way they have decided to do this, where they now do the coaches and the media vote on region players of the year, and they become the finalists. And there are some ties, but you take the 15th region in Johnson Central's Mason Blair. Not, he's the state record holder for threes made in a season, averages like 30 points a game. He's not a finalist for Mr. Basketball. Kiara Pankins at Lafayette is not a finalist for Miss Basketball. All right, so your thoughts?
Yeah, It's interesting. I have mixed thoughts about it because in the same, you bring up two great cases of players who I think got slotted, maybe should have at least been on the ballot. Obviously Princess Stewart, Franklin County, is an awesome player, deserves a nomination.
Yeah, I'm not saying Kiara over Princess, but if you're going to nominate more than one person or have someone, a finalist, more than one, those are two people that should be on there.
That's where the problem comes, because you're right. So like in the fourth region for the boys, all three of those guys I think deserving. Like, I mean, in a year where Tavion Hollingsworth doesn't exist, because I think he's going to run away with the thing, I think either one of those three guys in that region would be maybe your favorite. I mean, those guys, I don't know. I think we may have talked about this before, Dan. I think Pedro Bradshaw is, you know, an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
But, you know, other some regions take it, it seems like it ends up being a politics thing in a lot of places.
Should we do it like football where just you and Dan decide?
Well, if just us, if it would have been just us, Walker Wood would be Mr. Football, not the kid from Bowling Green.
Yeah, they both have their problems, right? So Mr. Football, it's too few people, I think, are voting, obviously. And I think it would be nice if the coaches were involved in that voting process. And then here in the Mr. Basketball, it seems like there's too many voices. I don't know the intricacies of it, how it works when the coaches are voting.
Yeah.
But I was so Lawrence County and their guy was Tim Dalton was voted. You know, he's nominated and he'll probably they don't release the voting totals, but I bet he finishes second or third. When it all said and done, because he's just had a terrific senior year. But
you think Tavion runs away with it, though?
I guess I shouldn't say runs away with it, but it just feels like when you build everybody's cases, there's not a there's no other guy with a Sweet 16 MVP. that got to see everybody. You know, everybody in the state who, or at least most of the people who have a vote, got to see him, do what Dunbar did last year in that run to the championship. I mean, it's just a, you know, that's going to be a hard, you know, case to top. I mean, that's maybe your argument for, well, maybe we should wait until and do it after the Sweet 16 again, because that gives one guy definitely is going to get messed up if one of these, you know, guys who's been nominated makes a big run and has a big moment. Well, that didn't get factored into his candidacy, whereas it did for somebody else.
Right. But then he broke the scoring record in Fayette County for Lexington, and, you know, that's a big deal. That's a record that had stood for, 15 years? Longer?
You know, 25.
25, yeah.
Almost 30. So, yeah, I mean, it's an awesome case, and it kind of... you know, getting back to the voting process, I think, you know, from what I've heard about how it works at the local level, it sounds like there are cases where, you know, I was having this someone explained to me that KABC membership, the way that it works, sometimes schools will have multiple votes, I guess. And so you would have a case where one player received 6 points or 6 votes by the time that two schools have voted in a region. And so how does that make sense? Like, you could have a candidate get knocked out just based on that alone right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So it seems peculiar. I'm looking forward to maybe learning more about it here in the next few weeks and try to, you know, get to, I think that KABC membership is what ends up skewing things sometimes and turn it into a politics thing, especially in the smaller places. Like, I don't think it's happening really in the areas, where people are, you know, like here, I think people are really invested in it and want to see it, done right. And not to say that they don't want it done right around the state, but it becomes about other stuff other than what's happening on the court, I think, a lot of the time.
Talking with the Lexington Herald leaders, Josh Moore. Here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. So districts start this week. The most interesting game right off the bat on Tuesday is LCA and Dunbar. We're talking about Tavion Hollingsworth there. Dunbar's season, they're the state champs last year. It could come to an end Tuesday because LCA is a really good team capable of knocking off Dunbar. And Dunbar has lost to West Jessamine the night that Tavion broke the scoring record. On a last-second shot, West Jessamine's been very inconsistent this season. Then lost by 30 to Scott County. And now they go in up against LCA. LCA has also had some tough luck over this last week. They got a They got SportsCenter top 10. Number 8 was Brian Station and Eric Boone, the game winner from half court, back on Thursday night, I believe. And so LCA is very good and probably top 5 in the entire 11th region, one of the top 5 teams. And then here their season could end and not be in the region.
Well, one of them's season will end.
Yeah, one of them won't be there. So one of the top 5 teams in the 11th region won't be there. I think we've talked about this before. What about what the 15th region is doing, where every team in the region goes to the region tournament?
I think it's interesting. And again, I think the way they do it in the 15th, it's going to have to, we're going to have to see how it works. Because I've had some kind of convoluted scenarios explained to me how they may end up giving the because they still play the district tournament, so they would give like the district tournament winners a bye or a double bye, and then the runners up a bye, and then they would play like a 3-4 game in the first round. And I've had some ways explained to me that would make me not as interested in it. And so I think it's going to be execution, and they'll tinker with it, I'm sure, and try to find the best way, because they're basically using the 15th region, as it seems like, as a laboratory to try to test this.
Right.
Which is good. I mean, because at least the positive there is there's one school that's really big, Johnson Central.
Yeah.
They have like 1,200 plus kids.
Yeah.
And then the rest are all pretty close. There's a couple really tiny schools. And then there's, 12 to 13 schools that are all about 600, 700 kids.
Yeah.
Well,
Pikeville has like 20 schools just in Pikeville.
Well, yeah, and I was having this conversation with somebody. Consolidation came up. They were just throwing out a hypothetical of consolidation from schools out in Western Kentucky that would be really interesting. But you have, like in Pike County, you could have consolidation. But the county's so big. That's part of why there's so many schools out there. It's just
too many hills and hollers to go through to get to one central location.
Exactly.
Yeah. School would be canceled even more when it snows.
Yeah, or maybe right now it helps. They can't spread the flu around as quick as everybody else.
Yeah.
But I
like the idea. Yeah, the flu doesn't make it over the mountain. So one school's got it and the other. But I like the thought of taking a region and turning it into a conference almost, where you all have to play each other. That it's just in the rules. That's the way it is. You guys all have to play each other. And whatever number that winds up being, the ones who wind up with the best record is how you seed it. And that's just it, because there's not going to be a perfect way. But I think that would be the best way. The one thing that would hurt, let's say in the 11th region, Lexington Catholic and Lafayette, they always play twice a year. Those are always wars. You know, those kind of rivalries, then it would happen once.
Just once.
Just like the SEC, where sometimes, like this year, Kentucky doesn't go to South Carolina. South Carolina came to Kentucky, that's it. Unfairly for Georgia, probably.
Yeah, I know.
They have to play Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina twice. So something like that, and then if you could, maybe take the districts, keep the districts as kind of a guideline, but it would really be a facade. And if you could, you would play your district foes twice, and then everybody else in the region once, and then that record that you had at the end of the regular season would be the basis for the seeding in the regional tournament, and you play no district tournament.
I think in an ideal world, most people would like to see something like that. The more that I talk about this, I've been kind of disregarded for having a similar thought process as you just had, because basically because I'm not a coach, it's kind of how it was explained to me.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't understand the logistics of it, and they're right, I don't understand the logistics of scheduling or all the money, because it's all, every school has its own unique financial problem. But you could, I think everything, it's not like you, if you had to do it, this is my argument, if you had to do it, you'd figure it out.
You'd figure out
a way. Yeah, you'd figure it out. You'd play a Saturday of 8 games or something to get them all in, the most central location in the region. so that you could get in one of your games. All these teams could get in their games. You know what I mean? You would figure it out.
They tell me I've had some folks tell me that, boy, it would hurt like a Saturday tournament, like those one day events that people like to do when they travel, you know, to. And that's good because you get to see other parts of the state. The kids get to, you know, learn some stuff, maybe, if you're visiting other places. But yeah, you could still do that kind of stuff if you wanted to do it, say, one weekend in Richmond. You know, go to, or wherever the 11th region tournament's being played. Maybe everybody goes and plays two games.
Yeah.
And you just have a big old day of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could play it, like, say, you know, have some games at Catholic one day while you're also playing some games over at Bryan Station.
Yeah.
Listen, I think you guys need to sit down with the KHSAA and...
Well, it's not the 11th region that would be the problem. It's some of the regions where you're spread out more that it would be more of an issue. But let's go past this. Okay, go ahead,
Mark. I got to ask you about the fight.
Okay,
go ahead. At the Tate's Creek Henry Clay girls game. Were you there for that by any chance?
I was not. I was over at the Jones Central. I was over at Tate's Creek, watching Jones Central on Tate's Creek. I just finished up and that came across my radar. It looked bad though. I mean, I don't have any, I don't know. It you hate to see that, especially going right, you know, as the season's winding down.
So is there a chance that these two teams meet each other again?
No,
they're in separate districts. So, and they're, well,
even in the region tournament,
Tate's Creek's not going to make the region. No chance.
Theoretically possible, but it's not going to happen, probably.
Okay. Tate's Creek has been really, really not good for about 4 years in a row.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking historic bad.
Weren't those like 9 and 100 or something like that?
Yeah, at one point I looked it up and they were 9-91 in their previous 100 games.
Yeah.
And it's only gotten worse since then, so I haven't. It's almost worth doing a story about is how bad it is. But you hate to pile on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad
enough. Can I interview you about how bad you are?
Yeah. You talk about a girl who's been a freshman through her senior year at Tate's Creek playing girls basketball. She's maybe won 5 to 10 games the whole time. Yeah. And you do that year after year. That is tough. Tough, tough, tough.
So what do you think... You know, I'm assuming you've at least seen the video.
Yes. I've seen the video.
So how does the KHSAA approach that?
I think they'll definitely take the video into consideration. I assume they would talk to both coaches. I don't know if the kids would be involved in the conversation the KHSAA has. My guess would be they wouldn't be, but I guess they could, you know, if they wanted to, they could involve them. With the holiday tomorrow, I thought initially maybe it could throw things off track a little bit, and plus they were recovering from the state wrestling this weekend, but I mean, they're going to have to, I would think, make a ruling tomorrow because the district tournament starts tomorrow.
Yeah, they have to.
And Texas Creek will be playing. So they're going to have to, if they're going to suspend anybody, they're going to have to do it, really soon. And I think there will be. I think they're going to be some suspensions, I would imagine.
I think there probably have to be. I mean, I don't think you can let that happen and not suspend.
Oh, there will be. Let me tell you, they were looking at that video Friday night. All right. After it happened, they've already been into it. There will be suspensions.
I know last year, towards the end of the season, Lafayette and Bryan Station's girls played, and it wasn't anywhere close to a fight. It was just a kind of a scrum, maybe is what you would call it. But it was, the big thing was there were players who left the bench area, and that kind of impacted, and they got suspension. They had a few suspensions for that. And got punished for that. So there, yeah, Dan's right. There are going to definitely be ramifications. I mean, I don't think this would happen, but it wouldn't throw me for a loop if the KHSAA just decided to ask the teams to not play in the district tournament. Mm. Like, that would be that. I don't think that'll happen, but I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, at this point, it seems like maybe for the interest of both teams, it not would be the, you know, the best way to go. I mean, I'm sure if you asked the coach, they said they'd want another chance to play to end their seasons on a positive note. Even if, you know, even if it's a loss, it's still not the way your season ends. But it may, I guess you could also make the argument the other way, that maybe it's best to just kind of jump ship and start up and try to get ready for next year.
We're talking with the Lexington Herald leaders, Josh Moore, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. One more thing before we let you go. We've kind of kept you here a little longer than... Well, it just happens that way. When I get on the phone with Josh, I just can't...
You say you don't want to do an hour, Dan, but you do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we've got to talk Sweet 16 predictions here, just kind of thoughts on who do you think wins the 11th, who do you think wins the 12th, and then who are your top three or four going into the Sweet 16... In your mind, well, I mean, going into, we haven't even gotten to the region winners yet, but just your favorites to win the Sweet 16.
So yeah, I know Lexington Catholic beat them, but it's hard for me to at this point pick against Scott County coming out of the 11th region.
Agreed.
They're just so lethal from multiple positions on the floor as far as scoring the ball goes. They can defend pretty well. They're You obviously have a Hall of Famer on the sidelines, never heard. They've got every ingredient you would want out of a team, and plus they're hungry. I mean, they were in the finals last year, could have, you know, and it balls fall a different way, they could have beaten Dunbar.
Yeah.
And maybe they're in it last year. So, yeah, I think they're absolutely a contender. They're going to, you know, be a contender there at state if they, get out of the region. I think Bowling Green would actually be my pick to win the thing this year, just kind of based on, you know, this is a class of guys, assuming they get out of the fourth region, that is going to be, you know, gone up there four straight times. And, mm-hmm. you know, you got, I mean, to lose the way they did last year is just incredible. I mean, up 17 points and lose, you know, to the eventual champs, mind mm-hmm. you, but still to lose, you know, after taking that big a lead is something that's uncommon. I think Burns Creek's not getting a whole lot of it. I think I wrote this today in the paper that they've had two losses and maybe hardly outside of Louisville, no one's really talking about them.
Yeah.
You know, they're having an incredible season, I think, and it seems like it's all kind of much more of a team thing for them. They don't really have anybody who is absolutely off the charts dynamite player.
Hey, since the LIT, I have voted them number one in every poll of, you know, AP poll of the week since then. So they're number one to me.
Oh yeah, I've been voting them number one, and even though Bowling Green's my pick, they're still, I mean, they're very deserving of that number one spot in the poll, I think. I mean, and that's And Trinity, you know, everyone wants to hear about Louisville, but you know, Trinity's really good. I watched them play Henry Clay. Now Henry Clay's down this year, but they're still, I mean, they've got some incredible talent over there. That especially that David Johnson kid is he can shoot. It's a pretty good class, pretty good group of kids they have over there. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be, and I think, and something else to watch. This is going to be a year. You know, people, the 100th anniversary, so obviously it's going to have all that fun and pomp and circumstance. And, you know, people love when the Mountains do well at the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year that you can have a Mountain team reach the Final Four, at least.
Yeah.
That bracket, the way it sets up, it's pretty nicely set up for that kind of run.
Yeah.
And once you get to the Final Four, I mean, even if you're, you know, maybe you're still undermatched, you know, once you've got two games between you and the championship, it looks a whole lot different than when you've got four.
Yeah.
Right.
Shelby Valley. Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be, and in some ways that'd be the best result for the KHAA would be a smaller school or a mountain school coming in this year and doing it. When all this is, you know, it's going to have more attention on it this year than definitely, I would think, in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least going in, you know, like the ahead of it. So that would be, KSA doesn't care. I mean, they're going to be happy with whoever wins. But I think if it could play out in a perfect finish, it would be, you know, say somebody topples somebody from Louisville, like a Buckhorn top school, gets into the finals and beats Louisville, like, you know, Trinity.
Right.
Like, that would be the
Clay County Ballard. Yeah.
All right, Josh, thank you so much. We're like 10 minutes late for a break, so I'm going to cut you and Dan off right now. Thank you so much, Josh. We'll have you back on soon to talk Sweet 16.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
All right. Derek Terry coming up next.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Canal.
I don't think you're ever going to hear him have a deep commentary on some show or interview where he'll get deep into how much it bothered him. I was surprised. I knew there would be boos. I didn't know they'd be as loud as they were. Like, I was genuinely surprised. I knew there would be boos, but you could not hear him speaking almost.
So Goodell and Brady had already shook hands, and that's where that was awesome exchange from Goodell. Like, what's he going to say?
Right.
Like, overrated. Montana's still clean, bro.
Russillo and Canal.
1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's a new day. A fresh start. Because Time Warner Cable is now Spectrum. Redefining what a cable company can be, with promises to make and promises to keep. Like crystal clear HD picture and sound, thousands of on-demand choices, and internet speeds fast enough to get you where you want to go instantly. All delivered over the most advanced fiber-rich digital network in the nation. With over 90,000 employees working hard every day to earn your business. Because nothing but the best will ever do. And it never should. Welcome to America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice provider. Welcome to Spectrum. Call 844-97-SPECTRUM or visit spectrum.com for more details.
Car wreck, Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
It's basketball season. It's the seller season. Happy Hour, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. Game day special. All NCAA basketball on our beautiful big screen TV. Incredible food in the most beautiful sports bar anywhere. It's the Cellar on Lansdowne Drive, right next to the Signature Club. For more info, call 859-317-8301.
I'm in control of my world. My world is the same every day.
Every minute, my world seems to get a little smaller. My world is driving me crazy.
My world. What world? If your world is controlled by alcohol, there is hope.
We're AA. Alcoholics helping other alcoholics get sober for more than 70 years.
You'll find us in the phone book, your local newspaper, or on the web at aa.org. Alcoholics Anonymous.
Spring is just around the corner, and you'll get fantastic pre-spring prices for everything you need for your ride right now at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters. Save on thousands of accessories for all makes and models of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Remote car starts starting at just $189. Plus, every brand of truck bed covers, tires, wheels, and Jeep accessories at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters. Spray-on bed liners, toolboxes, backup cameras, and even car stereos are at fantastic prices. WeatherTech floor liners as low as $89, and we'll beat any internet or competitor's price. So call or come in and tell us what you want. We have it all at fantastic pre-spring prices, all right now. All at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters, behind Aurora Pools and Spas off West New Circle Road. It's the pre-spring fantastic price sale at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters, going on now.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
ESPN Sports Radio 13.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Look out! UK baseball team in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to take on the Tar Heels to open the season. And it's not gone great, but it's not gone miserable. The first game on Friday, Kentucky was had the game-tying runs on base and came up short 3-1. And they went up against one of the best pitchers in college baseball. And they got struck out 10 times over six innings. Three hits. So to be within two runs and have them on, you know, have a chance in the ninth was still pretty good. And then yesterday, Kentucky rallied and came back to make it a one-run game and again had a chance to tie the game in the ninth. So not bad, but, you know, like to win. Series finale today at 1 o'clock. Derek Terry of Cats Illustrated, Rivals.com, joins us now here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, right. Derek. So talk a little bit about Zach Rex. He's off to a decent start hitting the ball, you'd think, right? 7-for-8 in the two games?
Yeah, he's off to a great start. I think I saw a stat that outside of Rex, though, the team is hitting, like, under 200. So, but you add in his 7 or 8 hits, and it doesn't look as bad. But, yeah, 4-for-4 yesterday, I think, was a career high for him. And really, outside of, I think only 2 or 3 hitters, though, yesterday. UK didn't have much going. Cole Cottom had 3 hits, and Marcus Carson and Connor Heady, I think, were the other ones who had hits. So, got to get the bats going a little bit more, but Rex is definitely off to a great start.
Well, Evan White's 17-game hitting streak, I guess, came to an end, a streak that, you know, obviously carried over from last season. But his bat, you figure, will be fine. If you can get, Cole Cottom going, that's a spot that maybe offense was not expected, a lot of offense wasn't expected from behind the plate.
Yeah, Evan White, he actually didn't play yesterday.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, he has a, Dick Gabriel on Friday said he had a hip injury leading up till Friday, and they didn't know if he was going to be able to play in the opener, but he did. I'm assuming that's why he didn't play yesterday.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but yeah, besides him, Cottom had a good bat, but they got to get Tristan Pompey, the cleanup hitter, and Riley Mahan, the second baseman, hitting a little bit. Those are two guys who had pretty good years last year, decent years, and they're hitless, though, to start the season.
But they have made, even yesterday, you know, they get down 5-1, and then they come back. Is this a team that's built to come back, or do they not need to dig themselves holes like that?
It's still really early, but obviously, I think this is a team that with the bullpen I say issues. I've said that a few times now on the air, on my podcast. But I don't know if I call them issues yet. It's just there's so many unknowns in the bullpen because of how many innings they lost.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I think it was just a sign of the starting pitching was okay the last two games. I think the starting pitching's given them a chance to win. But yesterday, it was a bullpen that I believe allowed three runs in the seventh inning. So that was an issue of how they got down so much. But, yeah, just the battle back, though, is definitely a positive sign. And I don't think it was just the ninth inning. I think maybe every inning from the seventh on, they had the tying runs on base and a chance to come back. So they got a few more timely hits yesterday than what they got on Friday. But they couldn't get the one yesterday to really put them over. But maybe today. I think today, going into the series, I looked at Sunday as their best chance to win with Justin Lewis on the mound. And North Carolina still in a true freshman who was one of the highest-ranked recruits in the country. But I like Kentucky's chances today more so than definitely Friday when they faced J.B. Bukauskas, probably a top-10 pick this year. And last year, I thought they had a decent chance. But today, they need to get this one today. Just getting swept is really one of the worst things that can happen in college baseball.
Yeah.
And with North Carolina being such a top-ranked team, getting a win like that would not only help their resume probably towards the end of the year, but also just get some confidence going into next week where they have several winnable games.
We're talking with Rivals.com, Derek Terry, also CatchIllustrated.com, here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Sean Jelly, the starter on Friday, I don't know, he wasn't great, but he was okay. And then Zach Logue, not bad yesterday, only three earned runs, five strikeouts. You figure Justin Lewis today is going to be really counted on, and he's got some nasty stuff. He's got some nasty stuff. We just haven't seen it over the course of, say, six innings.
Right, yeah. So last season he came out of the bullpen and showed really good potential. And when I talked to Jim Bellinger, the pitching coach, I guess it was back in the fall. It was right around when fall practice started. He talked about how Justin Lewis's changeup is one of the best he's ever been around. And Jimmy Bellinger is a pitching coach who's been around some really good pitchers at Maryland. They had several high draft picks. So that was pretty high praise for Justin. But also a really good fastball, low 90s and a slider. So I think he might have the best peer stuff on Kentucky's rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not as consistent throwing strikes as what Sean Jelly was in the fall. And that's why I think Jellyfish on Friday, and they're going to use Lewis today. But I wouldn't be surprised if that switched at some point during the year, though.
Yeah.
Lewis went to Friday nights, and Jelly went to Sunday, but we'll see.
So we know that the SEC Conference is traditionally just one of the best in college baseball. Where do you see Kentucky falling in the scheme of things?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one of, like, still trying to figure out what I think about it. But preseason, the SEC coaches, I guess, ranked them fourth, tied for fourth in the East, which would probably be good enough with the schedule this year to get into the NCAA tournament. But there's three teams in the East clearly better than Kentucky: Florida, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. And Vanderbilt, I guess. Did I always say Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know Vandy's better.
Yeah. So Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Florida. And after that, I think Kentucky is just as good as any of the other teams. But one tough thing about the schedule this year with as it relates to the teams they play on the west side of the conference, they have to play the four best teams in the preseason. So didn't really get a break at all playing the other side of the conference. So, I mean, I think around, I would say Kentucky's one of the more average teams in the SEC, maybe slightly below compared to some of the top teams. But
there's so many question marks.
There is. Yeah. Even finishing eighth or ninth, though, I think would be good enough to, since the conference is so deep, they could still probably get in the NCAA tournament, which for a program like Kentucky at this point, I think the program will definitely improve under Nick Mangione. But as it relates historically, just getting to a regional is a pretty big deal for this baseball team.
Yeah. Well, today they've got North Carolina 1 o'clock trying to avoid the sweep. And then next up, it's not as tough as going to Chapel Hill for three games. They go to Virginia for an extended stay, beginning with Liberty in Lynchburg on Wednesday. And then it's over to Norfolk for St. Joe's on Friday, Old Dominion on Saturday, Delaware on Sunday. And then a week from Tuesday, Kentucky opens at Cliff Hagin Stadium, home opener against EKU. And then the very next day, Western comes in. And then UC Santa Barbara comes in for the weekend. So have a chance here.
That sounds like the tour of like the original 13 colonies.
But they have a chance here to get some things worked out before conference play begins. And UC Santa Barbara will be a nice series to begin March. Because UC Santa Barbara, they were a World Series team last year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they went into Louisville, who I thought, last season I thought it would be Florida or Louisville who would win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville ended up getting bounced in the Super Regional on a walk-off grand slam. So really a terrible way to lose if you're a Louisville fan or a Louisville player. But that's a team that UC Santa Barbara, I was reading up a little bit about them. I think they lost a little bit from that team, but they're still expected to be pretty good. So that's a really great out-of-conference series to host for UK, especially it's, like you just said, I think it's their first weekend series. So hopefully the fans will come out and support this team. It'll be another good test to see just where UK is, and another series where if you can win one or maybe even two, will look great at the end of the year on the tournament resume.
And by the way, EKU, the home opener, don't sleep on them. They went out to Arizona. They've got four games against Arizona this weekend. And they've lost the first two, but yesterday they had Arizona, number 7th ranked Arizona, down and wound up losing the game 16-13. And this isn't
they were up 9-0 though, weren't they?
Yeah, but this the bullpen obviously let them down, but this isn't a middle of the week rotation type deal. They're facing the number 7 ranked team in the country's weekend guys. They're 1, 2, and 3. So EKU's obviously got some talent as well.
Yeah, EKU beat UK last year. I know that doesn't translate to this year, but Western, they play the day after.
Yeah.
Western has beat them, I think, like 8 out of the last 10 times. Something kind of crazy. So, past few years, not really done too well against these teams, but we'll see what happens this year.
Well, Derek, while we got you on real quick, what did you make of the basketball team last night? They hung tough, they hit their free throws and got away with a win, but you kind of expected maybe a different game, considering Mayton went out 2 minutes into it, Georgia's best player, but J.J. Frazier certainly was the star of the show, and Kentucky, as Cal said, was lucky to survive and get out of there with a win. What do you make of what you saw last night?
Yeah, like you said, I thought once Mayton got hurt that it would be slightly easier. I thought Georgia was going to be a tough game for them on the road, but didn't play great by any means. But down the stretch, especially De'Aaron Fox made a lot of big plays, and the defense got just enough stops to win. I think it was a good win for them. I really do. I know a lot of fans still aren't pleased, but it's hard to win games like that on the road against, even though Georgia is not one of the better teams. But ESPN kept showing the stat yesterday, or one of the images, that they've lost like 5 or 6 really close games this year.
Yeah.
So Georgia, if they just won even like half of those, you're looking at Georgia a lot differently than, I mean, that's probably a tournament team if they get a couple of those wins. So to go in there, a game that was a must win for Georgia and still be able to pull out the win, I thought was a really good sign. And really, it was big for the SEC race because I think that was probably the most likely game UK would lose outside of potentially Florida at home. So to get that win, I think will probably propel them to an SEC championship regular season.
Yeah, I think so. How they play against Florida on Saturday. I mean, you got Florida at home. They destroyed you down there. You got to think, some Calipari says, take it personal. You got to think Kentucky takes it personal on Saturday and gets that one game lead in the SEC. Hey, Derek, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you, Derek. We'll be chatting with you down the road once this baseball season really gets underway.
One more thing, Derek. You're from Corbin, right?
Yes.
Yes,
I am.
All right.
That is a
plus in my book. I'm from Williamsburg, so.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Growing up,
you didn't know Dan was from Williamsburg? I guess you've never been south of Corbin.
Well, here's the thing. We go north of Williamsburg because, as we used to say growing up, if something was pretty big, we'd say, it's bigger than Corbin.
Yeah.
At Nibrock Viva la Nibrock.
Listen, there's some big acts coming to the Corbin Arena.
That's right.
I tell you what.
Yes, that was not there when I was there. The biggest thing going on was Nibrock. That was it. In the Trademark Shopping Center.
I've been to the arena about 5 times. The whole time it's been there. So just for basketball tournaments, really.
Yeah.
Not seen much in there. But.
All right, Derek. Thanks again, man.
All right, thank you.
All right. Derek Terry there.
Guess he's not a big Bill Engvall fan.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Are you ready to have your home or office cleaned the right way, the first time, and every time? Let the Cleaning Authority take your cleaning stress away by giving you a first-class cleaning experience. The Cleaning Authority is one of the largest home and office cleaning companies in Lexington because they get great results with high customer satisfaction. Their references will tell you they put you first in all they do. The Cleaning Authority staff are bonded professionals, so you can rest assured your home or office is in good hands. Call us for a free estimate at 859-309-1313. That's 859-309-1313. Or check us out on the web at thecleaningauthority.com Lexington. The new year is here. Start it off right by getting your office or home cleaned by the pros. Call the Cleaning Authority and let them take care of this for you. The new year is the perfect time to call them for your first-class cleaning experience. Call 859-309-1313. The Cleaning Authority. We make life easier.
Do you have a passion for digital media and marketing?
Do you have 1 to 2 years experience in digital marketing and sales?
If so, LM Communications may be the right fit for you. We're looking for a digital marketing professional that understands sales to work with us
and join our 6 great radio stations.
Send your resume to colive@lmcomm.com. Call Craig at
859-233-1515.
859-233-1515 and ask for Craig. LM Communications Broadcast Radio Group is an equal opportunity employer.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, even eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington.
Your dental needs don't have to just stop at general cleaning. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire. Visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington for all your dental needs.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, or eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue in Lexington to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We haven't gone to the phones all morning. We should do so now. Joe from Paris, good morning.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning. You know, I hate to admit this, but I actually lived in Corbin one time for about a year and a half. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, and we always knew that, you know, Williamsburg had the ugliest girls in the world.
Oh, come on now!
You know, here a couple of weeks ago, they threw all their trophies away because they were all fourth-place trophies for fifth and fourth in a four-team district. They were throwing them in the dumpster. It was in the news.
You know? I know. I don't know what in the world they thought they were doing. The superintendent had to.
And, I mean, whoever these guys was, I'm sorry, they had to be something wrong with them. I mean, you don't.
They were cleaning up, and I guess these trophies were sold. They're like, who cares? These people are not even around anymore. Let's throw them away. And somebody caught them. Caught them on camera with a camera phone or something. And the superintendent had to backpedal. I don't know that the superintendent really had anything to do with it, and he probably just had to say, we got caught. It was stupid. We're sorry. You know, it was probably two young guys, probably I'm not going to speculate anymore. I just know it was not a good idea.
Well, I mean, you can go to old Southside Gym in Paris, and there's trophies from 19-teens in there.
Yeah, yeah. You have to keep those.
Yeah, and if somebody just didn't care, somebody young, dumb, and stupid,
right.
You know. And,
right.
And that's part of it, you know. And I thought about you when I saw it, and I thought, boy, I bet you he's about to blow a gasket.
Oh, I was not happy. I was not happy. For that to make the news... And the,
yeah.
I mean, Whitley County and Williamsburg, that they are on a weekly basis on the news yeah. in Lexington.
Well, see, my first wife grew up in Flat Lick in Knox County, so you can kind of say I was married to a heck of a redneck.
yeah. You're not kidding.
Well, I
yeah, you never say my current wife's from Flat Neck.
No.
Yeah. It's always my first wife.
Yeah.
But when I went to Corbin, there was more bootleggers than there was liquor stores in Lexington.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it blew my mind. But, hey,
look,
really,
you can get delivery
beautiful
service.
Country down there. Beautiful country down there. Make fun of the people, you know. But, hey, it's really... bunch of good people down there.
Yeah.
Good people down there I love to death, you know. Even though I'm not in their family anymore, we still stay in contact and everything. So, but I had to tease you a little bit, Dan. You know, that's it. I hope y'all have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you, Joe.
Take care.
You too. Look, sometimes being in a dry county is better than being in a wet county because dry counties still have drive-thrus. They're just a little farther away from town, and the price is a little bit more.
It lifts the entrepreneurial spirit of a county, I would imagine.
And there's delivery service. You know, for the longest time, Lexington didn't sell alcohol on Sundays. Not a problem with bootleggers. Yeah, and delivery. Who delivers? You can't call up something. Nobody delivers here, but... bootlegger delivers. I'm guessing that still goes on. I mean, I haven't been down there in looking for a bootlegger in a long time.
I haven't been looking for a bootlegger.
Yeah. I even think Corbin has like an Applebee's that sells alcohol now. You know, I don't know if Williamsburg does yet, but.
No. As far as I know, when I've been to Williamsburg, they did not have
a place to
eat.
Oh, come on. So there's no Druthers?
I don't know.
No, there used to be a Druthers.
There looked like there was some Dairy Cheer, maybe, or something like that. Like, not a Dairy Queen, but...
They've got a Dairy Queen.
Something...
It's across from the KFC.
Okay.
Not too far from the Wendy's and the Taco Bell. There's a McDonald's. We have places to eat in Williamsburg. All right. Let's go to Al is on the line. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Al.
Are you there, Al?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I think we're in a part of college basketball season where we're going to see some live, exciting games where even the teams at the bottom are going to chase the teams at the top, as we saw with Louisville and Duke and Kentucky last night. But I was very excited watching those two-point guards, Frazier and Fox, go at it. And I think that you're going to see some unbelievable sports from here all the way up to the NCAA final game somewhere in April.
Oh, man, this is the time of the year. This is it. I love it.
Yeah. My favorite week is coming up. The only thing I hate, here's the one thing I won't say I hate it, but it bothers me, is I love the Sweet 16, high school basketball Sweet 16. And that, of course, coincides with the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament, that Wednesday or that Thursday and Friday. And so I would love to just take those 2 days off and watch nothing but basketball all day. I've never done that. Never like gone and just watched the entire first round Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. You've never done that?
Mm-mm. I've always gone to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And if I've not gone to the Sweet 16, then I've worked doing something else. But, gosh, I just cannot miss the Sweet 16. It is so... Sweet 16 is like being at the first round of the NCAA tournament where all the teams are in one place. That's kind of... because it has its own storyline. It has its own... it's its own thing within a thing. And
then you go back to the room where you eat food, and they've got the NCAA tournament on all the TVs.
Well, not anymore.
Oh.
Now they just show the Sweet 16. So whatever game's on, even if it's halftime, used to be that way. Used to be that way where they'd have the NCAA tournament on, and there would be a large crowd that would gather in front of whatever exciting NCAA tournament game is on. But now, I mean, I keep games on my computer, that kind of thing. But anyway, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I think that when you think about Sweet 16, Paul Andrews emerged as a hero and went on to play with Kentucky. Dominic Hawkins.
Yeah.
Darius
Miller.
In this tournament, Darius Miller, Richie Farmer. You know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we can be proud of is that the tournament is played here in Lexington versus when it was played back in Louisville.
Right.
Back in the day, and I remember as a juvenile going down to watch my Henry Clay Blue Devils play.
Yeah.
And the tournament's down there. And that particular year, 1974, that given to James Lee and a guy by the name of Kenny Higgs.
Yeah.
They were probably the three best players in the state. And I thought, I had high hopes that Coach Hall would get all three. He got given to Lee. And Kenny Higgs went to LSU, and I don't know, he said that Hall didn't recruit him tough enough, but if he had gotten those three guys, the sky would have been the limit. But even though he didn't come in 1978, Kentucky still won a NCAA championship with Lee and Givens, products of Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
True enough.
And Darius Miller, 2012. Hey, Al, we got to go. We've come to the end of the show, but thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening this weekend. Thank you to John Clay coming on yesterday. Thank you to Josh Moore, also of the Lexington Herald Leader, coming on this morning, and Derek Terry of Rivals and CatsIllustrated.com. Thank you for listening. Coming up today on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, NBA All-Star Game tonight at 7:30. Coverage begins right here. Thanks again for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This morning on Mike and Mike.
NBA insider Mark Stein, are there deals that you think could be significant and impactful going down the stretch of this season and on into the playoffs?
Does anybody out there think they're stopping Golden State or Cleveland from getting to the finals? And the answer realistically is no, they don't. Unless somebody throws...